It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Oh, unafeared, unafeared we are here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, and we have a special guest on, Charles Key. He's a legislator from Oklahoma and has lots of history. And, you know, the main thing we wanted to talk to Charles about was there's a new documentary coming out kind of revealing a lot about the Oklahoma City bombing. And there was a lot of things that were going on at that time that a lot of legislation got passed on a federal level. There were a lot of things. You know, there was a big push for a constitutional convention at the time. And after that, it kind of went away a little bit, and it's starting to resurrect itself. We might talk about that. But, Charles, I got you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Charles, I'm very interested in the developments that are starting to come out, because what we did is the week building up to 9/11, we started including a lot of revelations and new information about 9/11, but we started to bring up, I go, you know, our generation, we had a 9/11. It was called Oklahoma City. And I just wanted to, you know, from your perspective, we have you for a limited time. So I wanted you to go ahead and share with the audience new information that you think they should know.
Well, you know, I'm not sure where to start with that. Are you talking about on the Oklahoma City bombing?
Yeah. You know, there's going to be documentaries that are starting to come out. There's all kinds of things coming up, and you were right in the middle of that. And there's legislative efforts now. I just wanted to, you know, go ahead and pick your brain a little bit. Is there something new that you know that most people don't now that you can share with us?
Well, I do get that question asked of me from time to time, and I'm not directly involved or investigating the Oklahoma City bombing anymore, but I get to hear all the stories. And because of my involvement in the past and having so much knowledge of it for such a long period of time, it's hard for me to pick up and say, well, here's the new stuff. You know what I'm saying? Here's the very latest information, or start at some point backward and say, well, from this point forward, here's the new stuff.
But what should we know?
Here's my best attempt to answer that question. There has been an attorney in the Salt Lake City area who has carried on a battle with the Justice Department and the FBI since the Oklahoma City bombing, since myself and the committee, the other gentleman that worked with me on this, ceased being directly and formally involved in the investigation. His name is Jesse Trentadue, and he continues to carry out a Freedom of Information Act lawsuit in which, in a federal court up there, he's got a federal judge that is a real honest-to-goodness judge that is fair, and he's held the Justice Department's feet to the fire and been fair and equal as this case has progressed and required them to answer reasonable questions while they, make them release information that they should release, such as documents that have shown that they did have a much deeper knowledge of other people involved. There was prior knowledge and a number of other people involved in the Oklahoma City bombing than what they had claimed as the official story.
I think the network's mic is open. Sam, if it's open, go ahead and flip that off. The one thing that I just want to know the truth. And did we get the truth out of this? We can just leave it at that. Did we get the truth, or is the truth yet to be known?
No, we didn't get the whole truth. We only got some bits and pieces of the truth, and that's the way these kind of things seem to work, is you get some of the truth, and then you get some lies thrown in, and you know, and that becomes the quote official story. And most people don't care; they're afraid to know, or they, you know, otherwise want to think everything is nice and simple and wonderful, and that their government truly is there to help them and take care of them all the time. And that's just not the case. And,
well, as a legislator at the time, and you were researching and pushing this, I would imagine you got some pushback. They didn't want Charles around anymore, am I right?
Oh, they came after me big time, and they got me. They knocked me out of office.
But you're back in now, aren't you?
Yeah, just by circumstances, I happened to run again. I never really planned it. I never totally decided I wouldn't run for office again, but circumstances developed, and the seat became vacant, and some individuals asked me to run, and I chose to run again, and here I am.
Well, this is one thing that, you know.
And by the way, when I did run again in 2006, I thought, well, what can they do to me that they haven't already done? And, you know, maybe they won't even bring this up again. But no, was I surprised. They came after me with even a bigger vengeance, but they weren't successful this time.
Yeah, because I think the people, they probably, maybe we need somebody in there that was questioning authority from inside as an authority. You know, this is one thing I did want to, you know, just a lot of news is breaking here, and we're going to be doing some stuff, and I just, out of the dark, hope you might be able to help me with this. During the time that you were a legislator at that time, there was an effort to get a constitutional convention, and one of the reasons they were using was a balanced budget amendment. And it looks like they're trying it again. The very same people that were behind this immigration thing and so on and national databases and all this other stuff, they're starting to make the argument, and I have a guest from the Goldwater Institute coming in at the bottom of the hour that's going to be talking to us about, well, yeah, it may be a runaway convention, but, you know, the risk is outweighed by the possible benefits of us having a national constitutional convention so we can, I don't know, fix it. And have you heard anything about this?
Been talking to quite a few people about this, and you know, I have a lot of respect for the Goldwater Institute, like a lot of things they've done, but I'd say they're taking the wrong position on this issue. I would never think that the downside outweighs some possible advantages, because the downside could be terrible. You know, it could be terrible for all of us and devastating. And so that's not a good trade-off. I don't care what we think we might get out of it. If they won't balance the budget or write a reasonable budget. I mean, gosh, let's go back 5, 10, 15 years ago. Those budgets that still had significant deficits make the budgets of today and deficits look like, you know, heaven. And the problem isn't the Constitution. The problem is the people in office.
Yeah, this is, what have you been hearing? How has this been coming on your radar?
Well, I'm hearing there's an effort to call for a constitutional convention, and that some entities or organizations that would like to see this happen are working through some other organizations to influence legislators in many or most of the states to get them to introduce legislation to try to get this done quick and very fast, you know. Time will tell in the next 4 months if that's really the case, 4 or 5 months, as we see most legislatures go back into session first of the year. But there's a lot of people watching that and making plans to oppose it, because it does need to be opposed. We don't need to change the Constitution. We need to follow the Constitution.
Amen, brother. Well, you know, this is, and I'm like, you know, I'm not a big giant Constitution fan. It's just another collective document, put us on the plantation thing. But I understood the promise. It's just they haven't lived up to the promise. And now they're going to want to, well, we're going to change it a little bit, you know, to what? And and they had a plan. They had this new States of America Constitution thing. Rockefeller was all part of that back in the 70s, and that was the promise they were going to bring in turn rights to privileges and all this other crap. But once they do this, it's opened all up. Well, the group, they call it RestoringFreedom.org, and it's a Texas nonprofit corporation that just started just last year. And I know what's going to happen. We're going to start seeing all kinds of support from this, from like the Wall Street Journal, Murdoch, Fox News, Murdoch. I mean, you know, this is, it's going to be a heavy, heavy, heavy push for this. And I'm afraid. And I would you be so kind as this makes its way in Oklahoma, which I guarantee it will, would you keep us informed on this?
Be happy to.
You know, this is something that I'm very concerned about, and I'm glad you're there. You know, someone that stood up against a man when it counted and when it mattered at a time that there were a few people that would, and we didn't have anything but email. I mean, you know, the email, we could already see the power of the Internet even back then because every libertarian on the planet was a computer geek anyway, you know, and we got that. But when we come back, we'll have Charles Key tell us all about anything that he thinks is important on any issue from the inside. He just came back in 2006. He got a fresh look at what's been happening since he was gone. And the people are going, Charles, you're our hero, man. We need you to save us. Save America, because nobody else will. We'll see what Charles is going to do for us when we come back here on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit. The representative from Oklahoma, Charles Key.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
Welcome back to Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, and my special guest, special, Representative Charles Key from Oklahoma City. Oklahoma State. Where do you live in Oklahoma?
In the western part of Oklahoma City.
And, you know, so tell me what's on your plate. As we go after this election and so on, what's your main concern with America? What's going on, man?
There is way too much on my plate, I promise you. I need to clear off some of what's on my plate. You asked me, you closed out the last segment, and we were talking about the ConCon. And what they want to do is they want to change the rules. Even though they don't follow the rules, there's so many of them that don't know what the rules are, they don't follow them, but they would like to get rid of it. You know, they'd like to change it significantly. But that's not the only problem. There's some additional problems we've got in every state, in most states, and it's the way that legislatures operate, and carry out their business in the legislature, the parliamentary rules, the legislative rules. Most of them give the power the bulk of the power to the Speaker of the House or whoever the head of the Senate is, Senate pro tem or whatever they call them in each state. And it includes allowing that speaker to choose the other leaders, and they can decide, or just the speaker himself can decide, if they will allow certain bills or any bill to be heard or not heard. And this is a fundamental problem that needs to be brought to a very high public level of scrutiny. People want to know what's wrong with their government, why it doesn't work, how special interests have so much influence. Well, you elect a state representative or a state senator to go represent you, however many people that is in your district, in your state. They go to the state capitol, they file legislation that maybe you want them to file, and their district wants them to file, and then some guy from some other part of the state says, nope, not going to let you hear it, not even going to give you a hearing.
You know, I want to give an example of this. I remember this, and we'll talk about it in the next. Nick Dronius from the Gohler Institute has arrived. He's here, and we'll have some fun with him in a little bit. But I'll tell you this. In 1994, when they did the constitutional repeal, call for a ConCon repeal was introduced as legislation here in Arizona by a gentleman named Lester Pierce, which happened to be the cousin of Russell Pierce of SB 1070 fame. And what happened was he was approached by, you know, like John Birch people and some patriot community people in the Mormon community in East Valley that he had his constituency. And he's like, yeah, sure, I'll introduce it, whatever. He didn't know what was going on. And all of a sudden, all hell broke loose. The American Legislative Exchange Council told the president of the Senate at that time, a guy named John Green, said, you pocket this thing and you do not let it come out forever and always. Amen. Because we need to have they wouldn't even say why. And eventually we found out their reasoning was because we want to have a threat on the evil Clinton administration that we can do a constitutional amendment ConCon to do a balanced budget amendment thing. So I'm going, okay, that was a perfect example of what you're talking. And then they started going through the process of what they call a discharge petition. And do you have that ability in Oklahoma?
Yeah, but everybody's afraid to use it because they don't want to, you know, be in the bad graces of the chairman or the speaker or whoever or all of them.
Well, tell me, what do you know about the American Legislative Exchange Council? Does that have an impact on legislation in Oklahoma too?
Oh yeah, because it is the Republican conservative national legislators organization, and so it has a great influence, and it does good work for the most part. You know, if you're a conservative, you know, they don't. Everything they do isn't perfect and right any more than what any of us do.
You know, one thing that was interesting, at the time in 93, 94, there was a very prominent liberal Democrat named Art Hamilton here that had some kind of leadership position in that thing. And I'm going, they're saying this is Republican kind of a conservative thing. And it got him. You know, I never, as a young man, I never understood. I was always constantly being lied to. And that's what my motivation has been on this kind of stuff. And so how do they do this? After the elections, do they bring you all in and give you your binder or your CD of legislation they want passed? How does that work?
Well, no, not exactly. They produce a book of model legislation, and it can be provided by any kind, all kinds of people or organizations. It could be provided by people like myself that submit some legislation for other state legislators to consider. But they don't pass it out and go out and get real active trying to get people that I've seen get legislators to file legislation, although there may be some, you know, independent examples of that. But they do have a lot of influence on legislators that are of like mind, that are conservatives, Republicans. They have influence. I'm not sure what else to say about that.
Well, if you were to come up against, this ConCon thing is a perfect example. I can tell you what's going to happen. I already know it's going to be Murdoch Wall Street Journal, Murdoch Fox News. It's going to be all these different conservative. We're going to need to do, you know, here it comes. And how would that manifest itself in Oklahoma? Who is going to be the point person on that? Is it going to be leadership? Is it going to be an individual? Is it going to be press? Is it going to be the people? Where is it going to come from?
It'll probably come from, quote, leadership. I keep trying to find another word to use. Now, we have some incoming leadership, a speaker in particular, that's really going to be a good guy. He's going to be a great upgrade and a great change for Oklahoma. I don't think that he's going to be perfect and do all things that should be done, but he's going to be a big upgrade from what we've had. But, yeah, it'll come from somebody that's leadership. It'll either be the speaker or one of the top three, four, five people, or it might be a committee chairman. But if it comes in Oklahoma, it'll be somebody like that. As a matter of fact, we rescinded our call for a constitutional convention. You know, a lot of states had a call that they had placed in previous years, and it just sat there. And so we actually, last year in 2009, rescinded our call. In this session this year that just ended a few months ago, we actually, in one of our internal caucuses, the majority party, the Republicans in the House, had a conversation in which the speaker said he was thinking about putting a call for a constitutional convention in one of our joint resolutions. And all of a sudden, a bunch of us, and I was the first one to speak up and say, wait, just a second. We just rescinded our call, and that's the last thing we want to do. It's a bad idea, blah, 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 blah. He couldn't even remember that we had rescinded our call the year before and didn't have a clue about the downside of it. Somebody was influencing him, and it was about a balanced budget amendment. Somebody had influenced him to say, hey, this is a good deal. Let's do this.
Well, in Arizona, they finally did rescind our calls in 2003. And it's just we're going to find out from the Goldwater Institute. Nick Dranius is going to help us understand where this is coming from, what the benefit would be, and balance it with the risk. He's going to have to do some convincing, and I'm glad we had you on to talk about this, because I mean, you went through this on a couple occasions, and here it comes again. And so, what's your future? Are you going to be going for leadership? You got congressional race opportunities, or are you just happy where you're at?
Well, I've got two more years I can serve. I'm going to serve those 2 years, and maybe during the course of these next 2 years, I'll make a decision if I take a shot at something else. But I'm just going to let God talk to me. If he does talk to people and guide us and see if he does, and talk to my wife, I know that she guides me and tells me what to do from time to time, or tries to. and then, you know, circumstances will have to come to play in that also.
Well, so, go ahead and give out a website, you know, that people can keep track of what you're interested in, what you're doing.
It's real easy, charleskey.com. It's kind of under construction, but you'll find a few things there, charleskey.com. And good to be on your show. Appreciate it.
Thanks for coming on. And it was just timely. We had you scheduled last week or something, and all this kind of broke. And I'm going, I remember when this was going on. It was in the mid-90s. It was the same as all around. And when Oklahoma City happened, it kind of put everything on the whoa. But then all the stuff that they were threatening us with, they passed.
Well, it is like deja vu all over again, back like the early and middle 90s. It really is.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk to some of the youngins. They may not remember all this stuff that happened before. They're just, somebody that's influential told me what's what, and we're going to try and see what happens. Charles Key, Charles Key, K-E-Y, charleskey.com. Thanks for coming on, Charles. We'll have
Thank
you on
you.
Again
Thanks
soon.
For having me.
You bet. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit.
It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Me, Ernest Hancock in Phoenix, Arizona, from the beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com. We're at the top of the page. We got all kinds of goodies. We have also the argument from Nick Dranius from the Goldwater Institute. They're in support of this ConCon thing, and we put it up there, man. We're fair. We're going to let him say whatever he's going to say.
Can I start by correcting you? It's not a ConCon. It's an amendments convention. The whole notion that it's a ConCon is false and not supported by historical or legal record.
Okay, you may explain that to me.
All right. Number one, Article 5 was debated in the Committee of Detail during the 1787 convention. They proposed a wide-open runaway convention language. It was rejected, and instead the current language was selected. It was selected to allow for the states to have a fail-safe control over the federal government, not for a foundational convention, but for the limited purpose of correcting errors in the Constitution and to restrain the federal government. No less a person who loves the federal government than Alexander Hamilton underscored that the Article 5 process was meant to restrain the federal government.
Alexander Hamilton, good guy?
Alexander Hamilton said the purpose of this document, the purpose of Article 5, is to restrain the federal government. James Madison encouraged states to use it liberally to correct any errors in the Constitution. George Washington wrote that the states should use it liberally to correct errors in the Constitution. Now, the reality here...
Okay, well, let's go ahead and read it first. All right? Let's just read it. Article 5. The Congress, whenever two-thirds of both houses shall deem it necessary, shall propose amendments to this Constitution, or, on the application of the legislatures of two-thirds of the several states, shall call a convention for proposing amendments, in the plural, which, in either case, shall be valid to all intents and purposes as part of this Constitution.
Keep going.
All right, I'm scared already.
Keep going.
When ratified by the legislatures of three-fourths of the several states, or by conventions in three-fourths thereof, as the one or the other mode of ratification may be proposed by the Congress, provided that no amendment which may be made prior to the year 1808 shall in any manner affect the first and fourth clauses in the ninth section of the first article, or the heck that means, and that no state without its consent shall be deprived of its equal suffrage in the Senate. So it says there's, one, you got to wait until after so many years go by and until 1808 before you can do it. And it's, it cannot affect the first and fourth clauses of the ninth section. All right, let's go look at the ninth section. All right, da 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 da. I don't even see a ninth section. No, article. Okay, ninth section of what? Article 5? And I'm already lost. So I didn't. It says provided no matter affect the first and fourth clauses in the ninth section of the first article. Okay, let's go article one, ninth section. Article 1, got 8, 9, limits on Congress. The migration or importation of such persons as any of the states now existing shall think proper to admit shall not be prohibited by the Congress. So this was saying, even if you had a constitutional convention, you couldn't limit Immigration.
Those provisions deal with slavery. Actually, it's an amendment.
And the writ of habeas corpus and so on. Okay, yeah. So that's not really that big a deal. All right, so let's go ahead and go to Article 5. Let's see. Shall be valid to all intents and purposes as part of the Constitution when ratified by the legislatures. And it's amendments in the plural. How are you getting to where this can be limited to one issue? I don't get it.
Well, there's two ways. Number one, it's not a foundational convention because it preserves the equal suffrage of the states. That means that there's a Senate. That means that there are senators. That means that there's a means of passing laws that is fundamentally Republican. So you will not see a strike-all amendment at this convention. It can't happen. Secondly, there is no reason why, just because they use the plural form, that you have to use the plural. It's not true.
It is not true
that the word convention, either in conjunction with the plural form of amendments or standing on its own, meant a foundational convention. In fact, that exact language was rejected by the Committee of Detail, and this language was substituted for the purpose of allowing, if the states so choose, specific targeted amendments.
Whoa, where does it say that? In somebody's opinion?
Exactly.
You see, yeah, that don't mean nothing to me. You know, this is what it says. I mean, I'm not like making this up. On the application of the legislature, 2/3 of several states shall call a convention for proposing amendments.
That's right. It does not say a constitutional convention. This is a constitution for proposing amendments, which provides that there is a constitution to amend. It cannot be used to fundamentally restructure the constitution. That is,
is there some amendment you can't pass then or something?
It says it right there.
You can't do the slavery thing and habeas corpus, and that's it.
You can't change habeas corpus. You can't change the Senate. You're guaranteed the backbone of a Republican form of government and the most fundamental freedom established by the Magna Carta. That does not mean that states can't restrict the scope of the call. In fact, the history of the time shows in our report that it was very routine for the scope of the call to be restricted because the delegates are the agents of the states.
Okay, let me tell you what I know. All right. When they started doing this, first it was the Equal Rights Amendment. Okay, they go, you don't love women unless you support the Equal Rights Amendment. And to get it off of the legislators' plate, they went, fine, we call for a constitutional convention and deal that equal rights thing. Then they go, then it was abortion. Then it's balanced budget amendment. Then it's, I don't know, it's going to be immigration. It's going to be whatever the heck it is, because they just want to get enough states. Doesn't matter. You know, they don't care what you called it for. You know, they don't care. They're counting every one of them. So are you saying, okay, this is, you know, Nick's right here. This is what you're saying. You're saying that if you have 2/3 of the states call for this convention, that needs to be for one purpose.
It can be for a general purpose within those limits or for a specific purpose.
So you're including any other call that they got on the books.
It can be as long as...
See, you're killing me, man.
You're not letting me finish.
Don't lie to me, Nick.
I'm not lying to you, man.
You know, this thing, you try and deceive or lie. Me, my audience, I'm going to jump down your throat.
Hey, Ernie, why don't you read the report before you jump up and
the
down?
The report? I'm looking at Article 5 of the Constitution here. I got to look at your report, what it says? I can read what it says.
It does not say con, does it, sir? It says constitutional convention to propose amendments. It's an amendments convention. It's limited by habeas corpus. It's limited by the provision for a Senate.
So this you're saying there's some amendments that, you know, we can't have an amendment that would do away with birthright citizenship. Can't do it. Is that what you're saying?
No.
Well, what are you saying?
What I'm saying is that this is not a foundational convention. This is not authority to
the only thing it says, Section 4, Republican government. This is the one thing it says you can't do. Matter of fact, it shall not in any manner affect the first and fourth clauses of the ninth section. Well, here's the fourth. The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a Republican form of government and shall protect each of them against invasion and on application of the legislature or of the executive, and the legislature cannot be convened, against domestic violence. So this is the only thing they're saying. They're saying, look, you get a Republican form of government and we're going to protect you from invasion, and you know, and if you got a big giant domestic violence thing, we can call out the guard. Okay, so I'm going, that's the only thing it says you can't do. And the first, which was something to do with, I don't know what, slavery or immigration or something. So I'm going, I'm there. It's totally open.
No, it's not, Ernie.
Okay, is it not,
Ernie? How do you interpret words? Do you just apply a 20?
Shall call a convention for proposing amendments, and you're saying, is there some amendment they can't do?
Ernie, Are you going to interpret the words that were written in 1787?
I guarantee that the Supreme Court will, and they will do it in support of the government, whatever the heck it is. I guarantee. Right. In here, you will not have anything that will not be ultimately adjudicated by the Supreme Court. That is, when you got the legislative, the judicial, and the executive line up against the rights of the individual, you find yourself in a free speech zone. And I'm telling you, this does not limit anything that can be done. And I'm wondering, what report is going to tell me that it says something different than what I'm looking at?
Ernie, you just read it. It limits it to not in any way affecting a Republican form of government, which at the time meant a form of government limited to basic functions protecting liberty. Not only that, it guarantees the continuation of the Senate, which at the time was the representation of the states.
Yay. Okay, here's what you wrote. Okay, well, let's see. Robert Nadelson for the Goldwater Institute. Who's Robert?
He's a retired law professor at the University of Montana, an extremely well-published historian and lawyer who has studied the original meaning and understanding of the Constitution for decades.
Okay, well, let's see what he has to say. Under Article 5 of the U.S. Constitution, the states have the power to apply to Congress to hold a convention for the purposes of proposing constitutional amendments. This power is meant to provide a fail-safe mechanism to control the federal government. Of course, abuses of Article 5 constitutional amendment process are possible, but that possibility must be viewed against a clear and present danger to individual rights and freedom of doing nothing.
Exactly.
And I'm like, yeah, well, guess what? They're not supporting the Constitution as it is now. I want to give them a blank check to do it again. I'm just, you know, you know what? It's going to be little old Lone Ernie and Freedom Phoenix and whoever else on my side versus the evil intent of, and we're going to find out if there is in fact evil intent or what is it that they really want to do. Well, that's what we're going to do. When we come back, Nick's going to say all of this risk is worth it because we want to, I don't know, we're going to find out. When we come back on Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, and Nick Dranius from the Goldwater Institute.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around.
No, and the man be a-coming. Oh, but we're ready for him here on Declare Your Independence. With me, Ernest Hancock, in studio, I have Nick Dranius from the Goldwater Institute telling me how uninformed I am about this con thing. Well, I'm like, all right, before this thing.
Not a con.
All right, what is it?
It's an amendments convention, which is not foundational, which can be limited by the states to specific topics as intended by George Washington, Alexander Hamilton, James Madison, and Thomas Jefferson.
Yeah. Okay. So this is quite, just get it on record. All right, here we go. Any call for this constitutional convention to limit it must be accompanied by each state's request for an amendments convention. All right, they're going to say we all agree that we want it for a particular amendment. I would think that you want to limit to a particular amendment that they're going to have to request for a particular amendment. And I would think that the language of each one of these requests for an amendments convention would have to say the same thing. Are you only going to count those as your two-thirds to get your amendment constitutional non-convention thing?
Yes.
All right. So we have a limitation. On the call for this amendments convention is going to be done only if each one of the, how many states is it? 30 whatever.
You need 34.
Okay, 34 states. Get closer to Mike. 34 states are going to be saying, we want to have a limited non-con, okay, an amendments convention on this particular issue, and it shall not be used for anything else, and you're only going to be able to count the 34 states that request it for that specific amendment. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely.
Okay, you heard it here first, folks. And let me tell you what I anticipate. They're going to count all the ones that are on the record for anything, a state calling a convention, especially if they can't get 34 states to call it for this. Okay? And once they open it, then what? Oh, it's all up for interpretation. But you say, no, it's not. They're going to be prevented from doing whatever by whom? By what?
Well, the failsafe is the fact that you need 3/4 ratification, which means you got to convince 38 states or state legislators or state conventions to approve whatever comes out of the convention. If we're at the point in time...
Our fail-safe is the state legislature. Well, okay, if they do something else, well, you still got to get it, you know, the 3/4 of the state to ratify it anyway.
Well, look, I mean, what you're suggesting is that the convention would be used like a coup. And I think that's ridiculous. Because
I think it's already couped.
All right, well, that's my point. The status quo is not of, you know, fidelity to the Constitution. The status quo right now without a convention is a runaway executive, a runaway legislative, a runaway judiciary. I don't know how you can look at that and say, let's do nothing. Let's leave it the way it is. My God, the convention might result in Obamacare. Well, we already got it, man. We've already got a complete runaway federal government without a convention.
Let me tell you what I'd like to see. This is because they had this, what they called it? They called it the Continental Congress 09. Remember this Bob Schultz thing they were doing, you know, in Chicago, whatever. They had this Continental Congress. It was kind of convening to the people, and they're going to, we want this Articles of Freedom and all this kind of stuff. And my participation, and I went and, you know, and talked to them. They had a big trip to Jekyll Island, and we're going to, you know, resurrect and fix and all that kind of stuff as a promotional thing for this Continental Congress in Chicago. Had hundreds of people there and so on, and it was chaired by Michael Badnarik, which was a Libertarian candidate for president and all that kind of stuff. So they go through this process, and I just go, you know, I don't have any, you know, motivation to go to Chicago to do this thing, because if you don't have an option of none of the above for me, I mean, we're going to refound, and we're going to rededicate, and we're going to this, and we're going to rewrite, and we're going to keep, like you say, a Senate from the states. We're going to keep the federal government. We're going to keep all this stuff. It's not a foundational change. We're going to keep it. We're just going to tinker with it. And I'm going, if I don't have the option of voting non-government, then what kind of choice do I get? Why would I even care what you guys do? You're not going to abide by anything you come up with anyway if it doesn't benefit the big bad boys anyway. So it's all just another BS thing. So I'm going, and then you have other stuff. You know, they're talking about sanctions and protocols in this whole process. And I'm going, sanctions? Against who? Enforced by who? I mean, by what? What's going to, well, we got the 3/4 of the state's ratification process. All right. Yeah, I have a lot of faith with them. And then I remember they tried to do this marriage amendment, and it didn't require a amendments convention or anything. So I'm going, is there not a method by which you can do an amendment? We had a whole bunch of amendments to the Congress. Heck, we had 20 whatever amendments. I'm going, how did those get on?
Well, you'd have to rely on Congress, which is defeating the purpose of Article 5 state-initiated amendments processes. The whole idea here is for the states to take control of the federal government. There's no point in waiting for Congress to try to reform itself. This process was here to create a fail-safe against the federal government, not to appeal to the federal government to restrain itself.
So state legislators are the good guys?
Well, they're the closer to the people.
Yeah, tell me which state's not in debt.
Well, no state is quite as insolvent as the federal government, not even California.
I'm supposed to put my faith in, you know, instead of 500 and something legislators, to put in a few thousand legislators, I'm supposed to feel better?
No, what you want to do is create a shock to the system for the power elites and the federal government to realize they don't have a monopoly on power. You want to balance power against power.
Okay, so it's a political thing.
No, what you want to do is balance power against power. You want to use state legislators to rein in the federal government because the federal government right now thinks it can do anything.
You know, anything but follow whatever the heck the Constitution says. You want an amendment, whatever the heck you want to call it, to where the Constitution already has a balanced budget clause. I mean, it says, Section 8, the Congress shall have the power to coin money, regulate the value thereof, a foreign coin, to fix standards, weights, and measures, declare war, all this kind of stuff. And you get rid of the Federal Reserve, problem solved.
Well, that might be a topic for the amendments convention. Look, we're not advocating a particular
amendment. I advocate a particular one. Get rid of Federal Reserve.
Well, then we got to have the amendments convention.
Yeah, knock yourself out, man. Federal Reserve. But you know what? That's not what's going to be limited to. And you think the Federal Reserve is going to even allow that? And you're not advocating a specific amendment? Then how are you going to get 50 states to even consider to get enough 34 or whatever to do whatever the heck it is you want anyway?
Ernie, my first job is to convince people like you, people who are intelligent and maybe a little bit overly skeptical, that this is...
No, I'm definitely not skeptical enough. Every time I think I'm too skeptical, I find out I wasn't skeptical enough.
My first job, Ernie, is to convince you that the Article 5 process is something that is good because it is used to restrain the federal government. You cannot accept the status quo. The status quo is a runaway federal government. Nothing worse can come out of a convention called by the state legislatures than what we already have. I mean, what's the worst that could happen? Maybe an unelected...
That's why I say no government. I know what, how worse can it get? You know, I tell you what, I guarantee it, Nick, whatever comes out of this non-constitutional convention, okay, it can't possibly be better than just eliminating the federal government. It can't. Can't. Go back to our Confederation. Man, well, to go back to whatever, yes, whatever you're going to say, yes, I am.
Well, look, if you don't believe in any form of government, then you're right. I'm never going to convince you to use any constitutional process or even to care about it. But if you do believe in constitutionalism, as I do, then you have to take seriously the founders. All of the founders said the states should use this process to restrain the federal government as the last failsafe when the federal government is running away, as it has been running away. And the idea that something more dangerous could happen at a state initiative convention than what's already going on is mind-boggling to me.
You know, it's what they call that, Hegelian dialectic or something. It's like you create this big giant oh my god problem, and then you know a government always offers a solution. You know what the solution is? The solution is let us tear into it and do it again. I'm like, you know, how about not? You know, whatever. Because I tell you what's going to happen. What's going to happen is what's going to happen. You know, and as this process goes along, I'm just going to be out there going, watch for this, 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 and this. And it's either I'm going to be right or I'm going to be wrong. You know, I hope I'm wrong. Of course I hope I'm wrong. But, you know, I know I'm not. So this is what's going to happen. Time will tell. So when we come back, you know, I want to know, what are the forces behind this? How did Goldwater even get involved in this? How was it even presented to you? Why did you even write the paper?
Obamacare.
This is going to stop Obamacare?
Obamacare opened my eyes to the need to recognize there is no greater risk than the status quo.
So you want to do an amendment to eliminate Obamacare?
I want to eliminate anything that makes it possible for such an abomination.
And quit taking my money. Are you eliminating the income tax? You want to get popularity on this? Eliminate federal income tax.
I'm all for...
You want to get popularity on it? Get rid of the Federal Reserve.
I'm all for targeting the Amendments Convention to restricting the size, scope, and intrusiveness of the federal government in every respect.
Yeah, well, somebody show me this. I want to see what is the reason? What is the justification? The only thing I'm seeing is that we need a balanced budget amendment. All that means is more taxes.
Not if you follow some of the great ideas bubbling up from the grassroots.
Oh! Yeah, you know, does it say we're not going to increase taxes or come up with a new tax scheme or some flat tax or value add or some tax? I guarantee it is always going to be about they will make sure that they have the power to tax. It is going to be, because what did your favorite guy, Art Hamilton, have to say? Hey, we can't have sustained wars if we don't have the power to tax. And I'm going, well, hell, there's a good reason for not doing it right there. So I'm going, we're going to find out who's behind this. I got some ideas, you know. We'll talk about it when we come back here on Declare Your Independence with me and a good sport, Nick Dranius. We've had him on before from Goldwater Institute. Man, I'm not going to let him off easy, as you can tell. So he's going to sit there and go, well, how I'm wrong. I'm wrong, I'm wrong, I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And it's going to be an MP3 in the archive. You guys send this out everywhere because I want to make sure it's on record. What was the plan? What was the promise? And then what did we really get? Because in the end, it's just going to be all politics, blah, 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 blah. Here it comes. Ooh, we're going to play here on Declare Your Independence. Me, Ernest Hancock, we'll be right back.